the book of Acts, chapter number 4. If you get there, would you say amen this evening? The Bible said this in verse 31, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness." And I tell you, that's what the Holy Ghost will let you do. He'll let you speak up in boldness. But we'll always be able to understand what you're saying. Somebody say amen right there. And the Bible said, "And the multitude of them that believed was of one heart and of one soul." Now, that's a close bunch, amen. "Neither said any of them that all of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common." And we have many things common in this life, don't we? We all have troubles and anxieties and different experiences. And so all of them had things common. By the way, we're just common folk at Liberty Baptist Church. Don't think it's strange if you got a lot of troubles, because we just common folk. "And the Bible said, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." Now, they had great grace, so it proved, Brother Lee, that they were gracious. We need great grace, so we're gracious. I like this in 34. "Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, brought the prices of things that were sold, laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need." Now, I love this next Bible character. The Bible said, "And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, the son of Consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land sold it, brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. They kept back part of the price, and his wife also, being privy to it, brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost, and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? And thou hast lied unto men, hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down, gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things." Verse 6, "And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him." You may be seated tonight. I won't preach on this simple thought on why it kills some to go to church. I hope the content's good as the title. Why it kills some to go to church. Now, this was the early church. They had seen great and mighty miracles. And can I tell you today that we're not so much as looking for signs and miracles, because we've got a copy of the Word of God, and the Word of God does the miracle. Amen. The early church, the apostles, the days of the apostles are over. I don't know of an apostle that can raise a dead woman. I don't know of an apostle that can do the things that these apostles did in this day and hour. You know why? Because they were building on the chief cornerstone. They were laying the foundation of the church. Now, we don't need the things as they did in the early books of Acts, the things that were going on in communication, the miracles and different things. We have a complete copy tonight. Don't let anybody tell you they got a new revelation from God. Because this is all the revelation that we need tonight. And can I tell you, it's just not a regular book. It's a King James Bible. And if you don't have a King James Bible, you ought to sell you a shotgun and get you some money to buy you one. Amen? Because you ain't got a copy of the Word of God if you don't have the King James Bible. Now, I want to say this tonight. Why it kills some to go to church. This feller dropped out dead, and the young man simply carried him out, hauled him out, wound him up, and buried him. Now, I like what one of my members told me one time on this sermon. He said, "Preacher, you know, somebody lied and somebody died and nobody cried." Amen. Well, we've went a long way from the early church in many things. Friend, they didn't just take a hodgepodge of anything. They stayed with the stuff and they feared the God of this Bible. And so certainly, I want to tell you why it kills some to go to church. First of all, the leader wasn't right in his life. The leader was not right in his life. Can I tell you that here Ananias, being the man, he was the leader of the home. And now, daddies, let's go on and we can blame it on the school system. Well, we can blame it on the preacher. We can blame it on anything we want. But God has instituted in your home that you be the head of your home. And it's no sense in coming seeing this preacher after service, showing me the calendar in your checkbook. I know it's nearly 2012, but the order of this Bible is still the same. The man is the head of the home. The wife is not to be a doormat or a doorstep. I believe the wife ought to have her opinions. Think she ought to have her say-sos. But at the end of the day, honey, daddy, it falls on you and me at our house. And so I want to say here, Ananias, the leader, was not right in his life. Now, you'll notice I didn't read the rest of the story, but his wife fell dead also. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of daddies that's killing a lot of families tonight. It's not, sir, your neighbor's responsibility to bring your children to church. And I know some of you don't like what I'm saying tonight, but I'm just going to go and preach to you and tell you how the cow eats the cabbage. It's your responsibility to take leadership at your house. Amen. And so, you know, we want to talk about all this manhood and this macho stuff. Well, won't you step up to the plate and be a man? When your wife's more faithful than you are to church, you're not being the leader that God wants you to be. When you set your sorry hide at the house and put it in a recliner, and she comes to church and brings your back. You need a good strapping for the glory of God. Somebody, I felt a little preach coming right back. Amen. We need to take leadership in our home and be the man that God called us to be. Every woman that's right with God wants her husband to be a leader. And I think that we ought to get in our place and lead our families at our house. Now, I'm going to tell you why it kills some folk to go to church. It's because the leader was not right in his life. Daddy wasn't right. And I want to tell you why Daddy wasn't right. In verse number 3, Daddy wasn't tithing. Boy, we got quiet. Daddy wouldn't tithe in verse 3. Verse 2, the Bible said, now, verse 1, a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira's wife sold a possession, kept back part of the price. His wife also being private to it, brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Now, the leader wasn't right. He was not tithing. You know, there's dangers of holding back. You know, it amazes me how that some of you boys, if a waitress will smile at you a little bit, you know, and they keep your tea glass good and full, you'll give them 15 or 20%. I hear a lot. Now, hang on now. Don't get quiet. I'll pull every gun I got and preach a while tonight. We say, you know, now she took good care of our table and she kept my tea glass topped off. I mean, I've had some of them waitresses, Brother Lee, I wanted to set my tea glass out in the aisle so she'd trip over it when she come by. Amen. And so, ain't it amazing now that in our society, that they don't, 10% ain't good enough no more. You a cheapskate if you just tip 10%. Amen. And I know some of you leave a tip, a note on your placemat. Don't play in traffic. That's all the tip you leave, because you're such a cheapskate. Amen. But let me tell you this tonight. A lot of times when I hang on, I'm going somewhere. Help me preach on a Sunday night. I'm going somewhere. You say, well, you know, she's done a good job at the table and she's took care of my family, so we're going to give her a good tip. Let me ask you something. Has God done anything for you? Has God kept your tea glass full? Some of you say, preach, I wish you'd move on. But I've noticed them that are tithing, they're saying amen. If the shoe fits, put it on, honey. I didn't write this book. God did. He just told me to read it to you. And so ain't it amazing, man? I've heard of some waiters following people out in the parking lot and say, didn't leave nothing, say, hey, didn't I do a good job at your table? Can I ask you something tonight? Hadn't God done a good job at our table? Boy, I was reading this tonight and I noticed I'd been backlogging, Brother Lee. I'd been meaning to do something, you know, and I owed God a little money. And He said, by the way, ain't it about time you write that check? Amen. I told my wife, I said, now honey, write the church a check tonight. Go on, write the church a check tonight. And so you can check in with assistant pastor. Your pastor tithes. Is that not right? And I'm going to tell you something tonight, neighbor. You cannot outgive God. And if we're going to be the leader of our home, then we need to lead in paying our tithes. You know, God gave just a principle. I think it's a starting point. I think it's in Genesis 14 where He met King Melchizedek, and there the Bible said He paid him a tithe of all that he had. Well, Abraham instituted tithing. And a lot of people say, well, there's that Baptist preacher preaching on money now. He's Brother Ken, now he done let us in the building program and all we're going to hear is about money. No, if you'll pay your tithe, you won't hear nothing about money. And while we right there, let me go and say this. If you'll pay your tithe here, your children won't have to wash cars for the public to go down there and get them a box of donuts on Saturday. They won't have to wash the cars of your stinking neighbors to do something that me and you ought to be doing. Our kids ain't got to sell donuts to go and have a good time. Would some of you young'uns say, amen, preacher man? And if we'll do what God told us to do, this thing will work. I think a lot of times Santa Claus gets our money here December. I don't think Santa Claus put nothing in your tea glass. Give me five, Brother Dave. You know that's good preaching tonight. The leader wouldn't write. Now, a lot of people say that tithing ain't biblical. Well, then you ain't got my Bible. I hear this, tithing's in the law. No, it ain't. It come before the law. Put that in your pipe and don't light it because smoking's wrong. Somebody say amen. Now, I'm telling you tonight, neighbor, that tithing, the father of our faith instituted tithing. Then the law come by Moses. And I'm going to tell you something. Look in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17. 1 Timothy 6 and 17. I told y'all I was going to try to cut down on how long I was preaching. What I'm doing, I'm cutting back on the singing. First Timothy 6, verse number 17. Now, watch your Bible. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute and willing to communicate or willing to give. The only liberal I want at our church is a liberal giver. Look, verse 19. Laying up in store for themselves, not for nobody else. You can only do this for you. A good foundation against the time to come that they may lay hold on eternal life. Now this is what this verse said. Ye that's got stuff, give you stuff. Ye that are rich, be rich in good works. Now I'm going to tell you something. A man that makes $1 million a year and he gives 10%, and a woman makes $10,000 a year giving 10%. That ain't fair. Some of y'all don't like that. You know something? If I had $1 million, I think maybe I could pay plenty of gun shell money. And I'd have a little more to give. And so, us, right here, you looking at one of us, we ought to give more than our tithe. If you know exactly what you give to the Lord for a year, your giving ain't right. Boy, the other night at camp meeting, boy, I love it when the Lord does this right here. You know, you've always got something put back for that little something special, you know, you've been wanting. I've been, and I know some of y'all know where I'm going, but I've been wanting one of them nice fancy deer cameras, you know. Hang on a tree and it snaps a pit. I'm going to put some in my driveway. Be sure some of y'all ain't sneaking up my driveway at night. And I had that money put back and come down here at camp meeting. One of them preachers that drove in a long way and God said, give him that. It's easier being a preacher than it is a Christian. Give him that. I said, here, brother, God wants you to have that. And you know the last church I preached at. Ain't that something how God said, let me show you how it works. Open up your little billfold now. And I'm going to let some fall back in there for you. And then that's when he reminded me tonight, don't you owe me a little bit of tithe money? You see, why it kills some people to go to church is because the leader wouldn't write. He wasn't tithing. Now, number two, not only he wasn't tithing, he wasn't truthful. In verse 3, he lied. He sure did. Quit looking at me like a calf at a new gate staring out the window. He lied. Y'all love an honest preacher, don't you? The Bible said in Acts 5, verse number 3, he said, "Now Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie the Holy Ghost and to keep back part price of the land?" Now y'all just think I'm tough. You ought to have the Apostle Peter as your pastor. When the plague, I gotta do this. I may regret it tonight when I lay down, but I gotta do this right now. Wouldn't that be something when a plate come by, pass it on down yonder, pass it on down there, and pass it on down there. Hold right there, I say, "Hey, why are you holding back?" That's what kind of preacher they had. Son, God is talking to their preacher. You say, "How you know stuff, preacher? You live down there at our house. You read our mail every Sunday." No, I'm just a little mail boy. I put it in the box. Wouldn't that be something that come by? Peter stand there and say, "You forgot something. Phone's ringing. You can pick it up." Would somebody say that's good preaching, preacher? And so, why it kills some people go to church is because the leader wouldn't write in his life. Daddy wouldn't write. He wouldn't tithing. He wasn't truthful. Now look what he said. Why? He asked him a question. You ought to underline this. I don't want to get bogged down. But look what he says in verse 3. Not how, because he knowed how, but he wanted to know why. Verse 3, Peter said unto us, "Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie?" He said, "Why did you let the devil do that to you?" Not how, he knowed how he did. He wanted to know why he let him do it. You know, Brother Lee loves the book of James. And let's go to 1 Peter 5 and 8 right here tonight. And let's watch something. 1 Peter 5 and verse number 8. On this not being truthful. Boy, the devil loves to get us all trapped up, don't he? Look what he says in 1 Peter 5 and 8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary or your opponent, and then he says who he is. It's not the church member by you, and it's not your preacher that's your enemy. It's the devil. He's a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, verse 9, look how it hooks into why have you allowed him to do that to you? Whom resist steadfast in the faith? This happy clappy crowd ain't got enough doctrine to stand against the devil in faith. That's why we need doctrine in our Baptist church to teach our people on what we can stand on. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If God lives in you, he's a lot greater than the devil. If you'll yield to God, look what he says, resist steadfast, what? Not in the flesh, but in the faith. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Now look in James tonight, chapter number 4 and verse number 7. James 4 and verse number 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Don't forget that, because that's the key verse to the verse. Submit yourselves therefore to God and resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. He said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? The leader wasn't right. He wasn't tithing. He wasn't truthful. Then verse 4 and 5, Brother Dennis, he wasn't troubled. It didn't bother him because he had not done right. Can I tell you tonight, it's still right to do right. And when we do wrong, it ought to trouble us. I want to live so close when I do wrong, I can't get too far out because I get so troubled. And I want to say this tonight, and I mean it with all of my heart. If I do fall, I'm not saying I can't, and I'm not saying I will, but I'm saying if I do, I want to be leaning in the church that I fall in instead of I fall out. I've got brother and sisters here would pick me up off the floor and brush me off and say, "Preacher, move on. We love you and God loves you." Some of you are leaning out the window and one little old tip, the devil's going to have you out of here. Because you're looking for a reason to get out. The leader wouldn't write in his life. He wasn't troubled. Verse 4, while it remained, was it not thine own? Other words, boy, you had priority over it. You made the decision about it. And after his soul, was it not thine own power? He said you could have done something about it, but it didn't bother you. He wasn't troubled. No response. I'm going to tell you, very few people are troubled about anything. You can cuss and talk like a vulgar varmint and it not bother you. Something ain't right. You do somebody wrong, it ought to bother you. If you owe a church member a bill and it ain't bothering you, something ain't right with you. If you just a smart aleck and rude and ugly to everybody, something ain't right about you. And I'm smiling when I preach. I learned a big lesson. I got to grow too. He wasn't troubled. Daddy's God help us to be troubled when we do wrong. And let me tell y'all something right quick. At about 8:10, anybody here is apt to do wrong. Be careful not to throw rock. And always be careful, say this, "I told you so." And whatever you do, don't say they getting what they deserve. Because the men you's getting what we deserve, we wouldn't be here tonight. Why it kills some people go to church? The leader wouldn't write in his life. Number two, the Lord wasn't reigning in his life. Verse 3, he had hypocrisy. He is trying to be something he wouldn't. That's a hypocrite. I've heard more people say, "I'm not going to church because it's filled with hypocrites." Well, you know, I understand that a little bit. But if I'm a member at Liberty Baptist Church, I ought not be down there hanging out at the 7-Eleven buying a handful of lottery tickets and looking at dirty books and letting people come in and see me doing that trash. You ought not be doing it to start with. Anybody can sing "I Love Jesus" on the choir. And let me tell you what, I'm not perfect. And I don't always do right, but I can say this. I want to always do right. Now, the Lord wouldn't reign in his life. He had hypocrisy. Verse 3, Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie the Holy Ghost to keep back part of the price of the land? He has tried to be something he wouldn't. Number two, do you notice what's happened? I don't know if anybody's caught it or not. This is amazing right here what's just happened. The Lord wasn't reigning in his life. He had hypocrisy, but number two, he had jealousy. Verse 2, he kept back part of the land. You know what he was doing? Looking right, and I read it at the intro, Acts 4 and 36. Let me show you who he was jealous of. Some of you are going to catch it. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, a Levite in the countryside, having land, sold it, brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Hey, you know what? It's just like this. Now, Brother Nick, he owned that 100 acres down yonder at the river that Walmart was wanting. And y'all heard the buzzword in the church. He sold it, and he brought every bit of it, and he laid it at the leadership's feet. And he didn't say, y'all ain't got to vote on that. Y'all ain't got to put that here or put that there. He said, y'all boys just do with it whatever the church needs. And he said, he did what? I was the daddy rabbit here. God, that's good, ain't it, Brother David? I'm telling you, that is some kind of good right there. I'm the daddy rabbit here. I'm the one, when I get out, everybody says, I'm glad he's a member at Liberty Baptist Church. He's the biggest giver. Lord, this is some of the best stuff I've ever heard. Matter of fact, I don't know if some of y'all in the back's getting it or not. Brother Driver, that's good stuff, ain't it? He said, I'm the daddy rabbit here. I'm the one runs the preacher. I'm the one they come to when they need an addition. I just write a check. We take care of it. Now, who's this fella think he is? Done sold his farm over yonder at the river. Done give it all to the church. And everybody now is talking about how good and sweet he is. And now my feather ain't near as high as it was. So this is what he done. He said, honey, I think we'll go down there and sell our little old farm. He said, but it's just something between me and you. She said, now, honey, you know how I love that. Bible said, now, hang on. I'm not getting out of the Bible. Bible says she's privy to it, too. She said, now, honey, you know we love that lake lot. Why are you going to say? He said, well, listen, this is what we'll do. We'll just give part of it to the church, and they won't know. We'll go on the backside and buy us another lake lot. Some of y'all ain't getting it. But some of you getting it, and your wagons done got loaded. You see, he was jealous. Barnabas had done made this boy jealous. And I'm going to say this tonight. The reason it killed some folks to go to church, the Lord wasn't reigning in his life. He was jealous. Jealousy will eat you up. You know why God has sent us a man like this down here on this end pew to be able to do this? Ain't no sense in me being jealous about this man's pretty work. God's made him that way. He's not up here preaching. He's using his gifts for God. He ain't jealous of me preaching, and I ain't jealous of him building. Lord, this is just getting better and better. He's just doing what God's given him the gift to be doing. Brother Jerry out there on the road, do you have any idea what that man back there done for this? He brought me a bulldozer to my house, give me a key, and you know what that man told your preacher? You can handle it. I said, Brother Jerry, how you crank it? Man, I tore up more stuff than you could fix in a month. I done okay, Brother Dave, if I drop that blade and back drag. But I couldn't make it do right pushing stuff.
Brother Jerry tickled me. He got on that thing out here grading. And I noticed Dean, he just do his hand like that. I said, Brother Jerry, what you doing? He said, I'm feeling of the blade. I wasn't upset at Brother Jerry because he could do that. God put that in him to do that. And that's what our church needs is a diversity. We need doctors. Would somebody pray for a doctor? We ain't got a doctor yet. We may need lawyers before it's over. Got school teachers. We loaded with police. That ought to be telling me something right there. But he is jealous. And let me tell you something. You're never going to do nothing for God if you're jealous. You're never going to do nothing for God if you're jealous. Wait on your calling. Use your gifts to be a blessing. He was jealous of Barnabas. Why it killed some to go to church? Not only because the leader wasn't right in his life, the Lord wasn't reigning in his life. He had hypocrisy, he had jealousy. And then, notice I'm closing now, his mentality. He wanted credit for something that he didn't do. Wanted credit for something he didn't. You know what I've done? Had to purpose preachers, and this will help you. When nobody else is saying good preaching, and I do appreciate it when you say that. It encouraged me and helped. But when ain't nobody saying that, it's coming a day, Brother Dwayne, when I'm going to meet the Lord. And that's all that's going to matter that day, did I do it for Him? Brother Bard, it ain't going to matter then how many signed my Bible here. The leader wouldn't write in his life. The Lord wouldn't reign in his life. And number three, lastly, listening wasn't recorded in his life. It's a lot of difference between hearing and listening. My wife says something. And I got a little bit of a scapegoat this week. I had a hearing test. So if I do this, this side ain't real good. And I come home, I said, honey, I can tell you why I've not been hearing you. I can't hear. She said, I've got selective listening. It's a lot of difference in hearing and listening. He wasn't listening. Now, I want you to notice as I close this message tonight, listening wasn't recorded in his life. Verse 4, he was hard of hearing. He said, while it remained, was it not your own? After his soul, was it not thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in your heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. He is hard of hearing. You know, a lot of us are hard of hearing. God sends us a word so many times. You know what we say? I hope they got that. Boy, I'm glad they was there tonight. They sure didn't need to hear that. What you been needing to hear? It's hard hearing, and then there's hard-hearted. He wouldn't admit he's wrong. You know what, congregation? There's been times I've had to stand in front of this church and apologize for what I've done and said. There's been times here I got in the flesh and I got mad and I've done some things I shouldn't have done. Well, I had to apologize for it. We all do wrong. But you know what? It's no use in us being hard-hearted. We need to admit when we're wrong. And ladies, I know this is hard for some of y'all. I don't know why it's so hard for you. Because us men, a lot of time we can say, well, I'm sorry, and we're just ready to go on about our business. But you know, it's okay for all of us to say, I'm sorry. He wasn't listening. He said, Ananias, didn't you do this right here and there? Yeah. He is hearing, but he wasn't listening. I think a lot of sermons we hear, but we're not listening. Daddies, how much would God help our house if we'd listen? I had a daddy, wonderful man. I mean, just a wonderful man, provider. Loved his children. And he'd say, Ken, you're not listening to me. Ken, are you listening now? God help us to listen. He is hard of hearing, he is hard-hearted, and he was hard-headed. He wouldn't change. He could have changed. But he had his mind made up. Some of you done got your mind made up of what you're going to do and what this is going to be like. But your problem is you're not listening. I want to listen, don't you? Miss Sherry, would you come tonight? Would you play? And I'm going to tell you something. I've really had good liberty to preach this message tonight. Matter of fact, I believe it's probably one of the ones I've enjoyed most in a long time. Because it's relevant. It's talking to me, Brother Michael. Talking to me. But I want to ask you something tonight. God said anything to you. I hope you're not leaving out mad. Got your lips all pooched out. I just hope you turn your heart to the Lord. Miss Sherry, you play. I want to open this altar. I'm not your judge. I'm not your jury. I'm just telling you this. I've got some opportunities to do some things at my house. And you know why I do? Because I'm human. But I can tell you this, I'm trying.